Coming Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 10 in the morning Central Time on November 14th through 10 in the morning Central Time on November 15th. This year's theme, Myths About Lutheranism. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, November the 13th. Bill McKeever joins us to talk about something that's made headlines. In fact, the New York Times, their headline reads, "It's official, Mormon founder had up to 40 wives." And now, there's an essay that has been published, written, promulgated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that's making these headlines. What's in it? Is there any new information in this essay? Joining us to discuss a new essay on Joseph Smith's multiple wives, Bill McKeever, a regular guest founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and author of several books, including his latest, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be with you. How are things?
Very well. You've actually read this essay and thought considerably about it in the last couple of days. What's in it? How would you summarize its contents? And is there any new information on Joseph Smith in there?
Well, the answer to that question really depends on how interested a person may be in the history of Mormonism. For those of us who study Mormonism on a daily basis, I would say that there probably wasn't a whole lot of new information in it for us, but I think for many Latter-day Saints, it was probably very shocking in some areas. In fact, in keeping an eye on some of the Mormon blog sites, it seems that some Latter-day Saints are very shocked that their church is admitting something that for many years they felt were only vicious, ugly rumors by critics of Mormonism. And now you have the church actually admitting officially, because that's what this is, an official admission, because it is a piece that is posted on LDS.org, which is an official website of the Mormon Church. And Mormons are told that if something is found on an official website, that they can take that as an official statement coming from the leadership of the church. When you have a lot of Latter-day Saints who have been led to believe that Joseph Smith did not practice polygamy at all, to not only hear that he in fact did, but even married married women, and in the case of Helen Mar Kimball, a 14-year-old, you can imagine how this is probably going to rock the boat of a lot of faithful Latter-day Saints. And it is. It is. There's no doubt about that. This is shocking a lot of Mormons. Now, for some Mormons, it probably doesn't matter at all. They're still going to be a Mormon. They don't really care. They like the community. They like the system. And nothing's going to change their mind. But let me just tell you, there are a lot of Latter-day Saints that are very shook up about this. And they should be. And even though there are a lot of people that are offering kudos to the Mormon Church for being, quote-unquote, transparent, I refuse to applaud them for this, and this is why. I'm glad they're being honest, but what in the world, why in the world did it take them so long to be honest? That's what irritates me, because whenever I would bring up Joseph Smith's practicing polygamy to Latter-day Saints in the course of any conversation, usually the response I was met with was unbelief. They thought I was making it up. And I'm not. I'm getting this from reputable sources, and we know for a fact that Joseph Smith had at least 33 plural wives. We know for a fact that at least 10 of those wives had living husbands. We know for a fact that a number of those wives were teenagers. It's not impossible to find this information. You just have to know where to look. Now, many Latter-day Saints don't know to look because they just heard that this was not true. So why would they even bother to look it up? They're just going to trust their leaders more on a local level. And as far as they're concerned, they're going to dismiss it. Now we have this statement coming from Salt Lake City on an official website, admitting that what critics of Mormonism have been saying for decades is actually true. So why now? Why in 2014? Why not a long time ago? I think the answer to that is because the Mormon Church has no choice any longer but to fess up and be as honest as they possibly can be with their constituency, their membership, because these questions are not going to go away, and the Internet has made that a fact. It will not go away, and they have to respond some way to this.
So I guess in a sense we say thanks for being honest at last.
That's the way of putting it.
I mean, what happened is that they were no longer able to control the information out there. They were no longer able to be the gatekeepers for that information. And so finally, the game got away from them, so to speak, at least with regard to Joseph Smith and what he was up to in his marriages.
I think that's absolutely correct. That's a very good way of explaining the situation. And I think that is why the Mormon Church, over the past several months, has been coming out with these gospel topic essays addressing some of the more controversial aspects of its history. They have to. They can't ignore this anymore. They are hemorrhaging when it comes to their membership. And people are asking these questions, and it doesn't help when you have a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints reading something on the Internet that troubles them, and they go to the bishop and ask, well, what do I do with this? And the bishop says what? Well, it's not true. It's just an evil rumor. And here it's fully documented. You can go and find these references if you choose to. They can't do that anymore. And so people not feeling they're getting the proper answers are either becoming inactive or outright leaving the Mormon Church. And sadly, too many of them are going off into agnosticism or atheism. We certainly don't want to see that. But while some people are applauding the church, I refuse. I'm not going to applaud the church for something that they should have done a long time ago. This to me does not strike me as an act of integrity. It's more pragmatism. And if integrity was involved, they would have done this a long time ago.
So for a little bit of context, how is the average Mormon taught to regard Joseph Smith? I mean, if it comes as a shock to the average Mormon, what bubble is being burst by this information from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Well, I think a good example of that would be last General Conference. You had a Mormon General Authority, it was Neil Anderson, got up and spoke about how Joseph Smith was a holy and virtuous man. I thought the timing of that was just incredible, because not long after he makes that comment, then this essay comes out. And if you know the whole story, and this is what the essay doesn't bring out, but if you have a more complete picture of how Joseph Smith handled his plural marriages, he was not an honest and virtuous man about it at all. Evidence shows that he often lied about these relationships, even to his own wife, Emma. Now, does an honest and virtuous man lie to his wife about something like that? Of course not. And I've often said a man who will lie to his wife will lie to anybody. And yet Joseph Smith and prevarication and plural marriage all goes together in one package. You cannot separate them. Deception and plurality of wives goes together. And even Mormon historians will admit this. And the essay kind of talks about that. But it's not as clear as I wish it would be. And there are Mormon historians that have written on this subject that I think have been very candid in their comments. One of them that I often suggest to people is a book called Mormon Enigma. It's about Emma Hale Smith, Joseph Smith's wife. It was written by two female Mormon historians. And I tell you, it's one of the few books I've read that just outright angered me when I read it, when I saw or I read for myself how Joseph Smith handled the subject of polygamy and how he handled it with his wife, Emma. It just angers you, Todd, when you read this thing, I'm telling you. It's just, how could a man be thought to be a prophet of God and behave like this to his own wife? Just amazing to me. And I really wish that's a book that Mormon women would all get for Christmas. They really should. It's an incredible read.
Finally here, with about a minute or so, this is, in a sense, a tip of the iceberg. I mean, Joseph Smith is unique in that he's the founder and he's the prophet among, you know, the prophet of prophets for them. But what is true of Joseph Smith is most certainly also true, perhaps even to a greater degree, of his successors as prophets of Mormonism. What are your thoughts there with about a minute?
Well, you can't escape the fact that a lot of his successors were protecting his image throughout the years. So they're all culpable. They're all culpable. And so I can't excuse them either. Again, I'm happy that the church is finally being a little bit honest on this, but my big question is, where have you been all these years? We've been talking about this for decades, and now you're just getting up to speed. That shows me that there's a big integrity problem in the leadership of the LDS Church.
With only about 30 seconds, is this perhaps the first of necessary admissions that they will be making, given the fact that the flow of the information is obviously out of the control of the LDS Church?
It's more towards the end of a lot of these admissions, because they've already come out with several other gospel topic essays, including one on the Book of Abraham, where now they're flat out admitting that Joseph Smith's translation of the Egyptian papyri was more by revelation and not a traditional translation, as most people are led to believe. So they've already been starting to come out with these, and this is kind of towards the end of that list, and I'm not exactly sure how many more they really plan on coming out with, but it's not one of the first.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books on Mormonism, including his latest, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thanks.
My pleasure.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, November the 13th. Jennifer Lull will join us to talk about something that just sounds kind of creepy to me, egg freezing parties. It's not cooking. It is women learning about how they might freeze their own eggs because they're too busy with their career right now. They want to put childbirth off, and the only way to do that viably is to take their eggs at a young age and freeze them so that when they're ready to have children, maybe at the midpoint or the end of their career, they can have their children. We'll talk about the dangers of the egg freezing parties. Jennifer Lull, founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, will be our guest. And then we'll continue our weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on Christ in the Old Testament in Zephaniah chapter 1. We'll be right back with hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.